That is the overall secret. And the more you read Lewis, the more you are familiar with his style. Welcome to another special edition of All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty, the author of C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell, a companion and study guide to the Screwtape Letters. Today is the third of a six-part series called Exploring C.S. Lewis Misquotes and Misconceptions. If you haven't listened to the first two parts, then be sure to follow the show notes for a direct link to them. If you've heard those programs, then you know that I have a special guest host taking over shortly. Today, Reverend David Beckman joins me, and he'll be talking about himself shortly. Let me welcome him now back to All About Jack, David.
Well, thank you, William. It's great to be back on the program with you.
Well, it's good to have you. Well, let's go ahead and get started then and have you tell a little bit about yourself. And then at the end of the episode, we'll give you another opportunity. Then after you tell about yourself, just lead us into this third show.
Well, sure, William. I live in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm the moderator of the C.S. Lewis Society of Chattanooga, Tennessee. I'm also a former director of the C.S. Lewis Study Center at the Kilns, C.S. Lewis's home in Oxford. And I do my blogging at revbeckman.com and have also not too long ago released a series of videos recorded in Oxford going over Lewis's book, Letters to Malcolm, which was something I was encouraged to do. It's just to try to get people more interested in the book because it's really a good one. You know, today we're going to continue a topic that was begun last time. And I tell you, you really have been working on this stuff for a long time now. I mean, it's like you are the misquote, misconception guy. It's pretty amazing. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to explore quotations that you claim were not said or written by C.S. Lewis. And you're going to present evidence to us about, three to five questionable quotes, if we have time for all those. But, you know, before we get into that, how do you really know if an expression is by C.S. Lewis anyway? How do you go about your research?
Well, of course, what I first did was I read every single word by Lewis and memorized it. Well, well not exactly. And to be honest, I have not read actually everything by Lewis. Some of his things that he specialized in terms of literature, that is not my specialty, so I've not read through all of that. But we practically have all of his works, at least all of his works that are directly Christian, that is available in electronic form. Yes. And so I can do a search to check that. I have read enough of most of his works that I have a pretty good idea. In fact, that is the overall secret in terms of why I wanted you to ask me this question is, and that is, the more you read Lewis, the more you are familiar with his style. Now, when his letters have been out for many years, but in the last just over a decade ago, a three-volume set was released. And so these were writings that were never intended to be published. So those are more casual, and you might find some things that might not sound as much like Lewis. But a lot of quotes that for those of us who are familiar with him from reading him so much, I can kind of pick out because he's not as quite cliche-ish. There might be one or two letters where that might slip in, but the expressions that I've examined in my series at EssentialCSLewis.com notes about that. We're going to be touching on a variety here, but of course, we can't do all of it. In fact, that's why I'm doing a six-part series, kind of combining the misquotes or misattributions is the main thing. And then next episode, just a quick preview here, we're going to be looking at things that ones that Lewis didn't say, but they're close to what he said, or I'm considering them not quite Lewis because out of context. So there's some other matters to be concerned about, to be aware that we touched about. But in terms of knowing whether it's Lewis or not, if I can find it online, and there's Google Books you can search. I made reference to this in passing the last episode. And that's something that not everyone knows how to do, but that's something that can be done, and you can kind of track some things down. And as well as looking through the electronic works of Lewis, and I'm fortunate to have all of them that are available.
Yeah, that's great. You know, this reminds me of how when we were at the Kilns, one of the scholars living there at the Kilns was doing Lewis research, and she was just regularly raving about being able to do word searches in her Kindle. And how helpful that was to just be able to look at everything and find stuff. It's really great. Well, listen, as you've noticed in previous episodes and also on your website, EssentialCSLewis.com, right now, as we're recording, you have found over 35 quotations, if you examine, and I think you're working on even more of them. Mm-hmm. I've already mentioned the fact you've been at this for a while. When did you start the project? I don't quite remember. And did you expect to find so many when you started out?
Well, I'll answer that last question first. And I did not expect to find it's over 35 and counting. And when I started this, I was noticing, and a lot of people say, no, this is not from Lewis. And then I would track that down and kind of be aware of it. And then others were encouraging me through one of the Lewis Facebook groups to, you know, collect them. And so I finally did. I did an initial article that was posted on my website to January 26, 2014. It was entitled Quotes Not by Lewis, A Preliminary Examination. And David, as someone familiar with Lewis's works, you might guess where that subtitle was influenced by. Do you know offhand? I didn't ask you this ahead of time.
Well, it sounds like Lewis's book on miracles.
That's right. Yeah. Miracles, which is now just, if you get it now, it just says miracles, but there was an initial subtitle and it is A Preliminary Study. So Miracles, A Preliminary Study. When I was collecting these things and I decided to do an initial posting back in early 2014, I thought a preliminary examination would be a little tip of the hat to Lewis.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool, William. That really is. So we may be looking forward then to some more revelations from you in the near future. We'll look forward to that. But right now, let's jump in as time is flying by on us. See how many of these things we can cover today. If we don't get through everything, I know your listeners can still visit EssentialCSLewis.com and get more details about these things. But for today, you have pre-selected a few quotations for us, and here's the first one. Quote, children are not a distraction from more important work. They are the most important work, unquote. Now, if Lewis didn't write that, who do you think did?
All right, well, in this case, we actually do know who wrote it. But first of all, let me comment that no one likes to be distracted, and it would seem really odd that Lewis would ever consider kids to be a distraction. And so this quote is obviously a great reminder that children are indeed very important, and a lot of people can relate to this truth. However, Lewis didn't say this expression, even though well-respected places. And I hate to name names, but maybe it'll teach them to be more careful here. But I respect Focus on the Family, but I know back a couple years ago was the most recent time I saw them posted it. And it said it was from Lewis, but it's not. But okay, so if he didn't write it, who did? In this case, I looked around, and sometimes when you do a search, you will find a alternative author suggested for a particular quote. In this case, I did. I saw the name of Dr. John Traynor come up. And so I decided, well, let me look on Facebook. And sure enough, he was a, you know, currently living person who was on Facebook, and he was nice enough to accept my friendship request. And so I explored the topic with him, and he was quite aware that Lewis was falsely attributed to it. And he showed me documentation where back in the years ago, which, you know, in internet years is not really that long ago, but in 2012, when there wasn't the video chat you could do on Facebook and other things, he was doing an old-fashioned group chat on Facebook with some friends, and he was preparing for that, and he came up with that expression. And so he shared it in that group, and so we actually know the origin of this quote, December the 30th, 2012.
There you go.
We unfortunately don't know how it got falsely attributed to Lewis, but other than the fact that somebody thought it sounded like Lewis because, you know, hey, maybe because, you know, because of being a children's author is one of his many talents.
Well, yes. You know, you can see how it's got a real strong sympathy there for children. I know that, you know, you have demonstrated that, you know, Lewis occasionally spoke about how he was uncomfortable around little kids. But we know that when those evacuees were staying with him in his house in Oxford, like the kids do in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, mm-hmm. That you know, he purposely took them under his wing. I mean, he felt sorry for these kids, and he was so busy and working so hard, but he purposely made time for these teenage girls You know, took him on walks and spent time with him. It was rather amusing. He said that their imaginations need a little bit of work, and so I tried helping them with that. But there's something to how, you know, people can see how Lewis would say something. How do you go from that to actually attributing it to it? I don't know. Well, now, William, do you have other evidence that you can use, quotes from Lewis about children that would help us with this?
Well, yeah. I mean, in terms of what Lewis actually said, he never said anything close to this. But ironically, he did say some things that people would be very surprised. And this is from his earlier years before the evacuees that you were referencing. There's a letter to Arthur Greaves from December the 7th, 1935, where he says, quote, "I theoretically hold that one ought to like children, but am shy with them in practice." And then in The Abolition of Man, he wrote in chapter one of that, quote, "I myself do not enjoy the society of small children." And then he said a few other things, and continuing the quote, "I recognize this as a defect in myself," close quote. So Lewis never said anything close to directly what is falsely attributed to him, and it's kind of ironic some of the things that he did say, although it was from his earlier years.
Yes, indeed. He was so distracted in his household by everything else going on. I'm sure that if there were little children around, I think he would have been very gracious to them, but he wouldn't have needed any more distraction. We could say that. Well, let's move on to the next quote, should we?
Okay.
All right. Okay, now here's another one. Quote, "You're never too old to set another goal or dream a new dream," unquote. What do you think about that one?
Well, this quote immediately reminded me of the fact when I was growing up in the 1970s, I recalled hearing something similar to this quote, which I never was able to track down directly, but it was in relation to the fact that Kentucky Fried Chicken is a franchise that didn't start until Colonel Sanders was in his 60s. And so this, you know, notion can be a great motivation to those wanting to find success later in life. And now that for myself, I'm in my early 50s, I wish, you know, in some regards, I was more successful. And so I can relate to this saying even more. But, you know, while I don't know when this quote began being falsely attributed to Lewis, I do know that he didn't write it. And I know that because in the research that I did, I was able to track it down to a motivational speaker by the name of Les Brown. That's L-E-S, and then the last name Brown, traditional spelling. Now, his website had been revised a few years ago, but I was able to find an earlier one where it was a about Les section, and it listed quotes that it was clearly noted that these were quotes by him. A revised one. It made it a little more cloudy. It just sort of looked as though this was a collection of quotes that he enjoyed, but they're real short sayings. But anyway, there's actually even a YouTube video that I found from August the 29th, 2012, where Les Brown himself shares the quote, and he doesn't give credit to anyone else for it. And so based on all this, as well as looking through the works of Lewis, and not finding it there, then my verdict is it's from Les Brown. And as we were implying earlier in terms of being familiar with Lewis's writing style, this is something that, you know, someone less familiar with Lewis might, you know, consider that would be something he could write, but his style of writing is usually very different from that, and it's not like this cliche expression. But, you know, a person can enjoy this expression all they want. We just don't want them to falsely attribute it to Lewis.
Yes, indeed. And like you say, with familiarity, I read this and it sounds like something from Disney. And I'm thinking, which is fine in itself, I'm thinking, you know, Lewis doesn't come across like that. Have you got any quotes by Lewis that sort of backs this up for us?
Yeah, well, in terms of what might be somewhat related or closest to it, I found a couple quotes. One is from The Problem of Pain, Chapter 3, where he says, quote, "When we want to be something other than the thing God wants us to be, we must be wanting what, in fact, will not make us happy," close quote. So that covers it from a different angle, but that's something that I think should touch people just as much as this cliche-type expression. Then there's a letter from December the 6th, 1944 that he wrote to a gentleman, and he said, quote, "Progress means getting nearer to a desired goal, and therefore means not being there already. You don't want the London train to go on progressing after it has reached London," close quote. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a little different than what that expression is saying, but nevertheless, in terms of some of the elements, I found this is the closest thing that Lewis has said.
Mm. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, there was that poem he once wrote about the person praying, and ended with how, you know, this isn't my dream, I'm your dream. You know, how my life ultimately comes from you, speaking of God. And there's a sense of submission to that, you know, that I'm accepting your idea of what I should be. You know, I shouldn't just arbitrarily just dream any old dream I want to do and just head off for it, you know, that sort of thing. Well, listen, you know, time, like I said, is moving on here. When you're having fun, your time is flying. Let's look at another one. This one really grates on me more than any of the other ones. So here we go. Quote, "Be weird, be random, be who you are, because you never know who would love the person that you hide," unquote. What do you think, William?
Well, one of the things that this brings to mind is that no one is exactly like you or I. This is a very important fact, but sadly, some of us do not feel like we're the unique person God has created us to be. And many individuals are very creative, and so this quote, I think, especially maybe speaks to them in some regard. But, you know, and the quote, you know, it encourages people to risk by acting differently, and that can be a little too risky at times. So, you know, we want to consider, well, what would Lewis really say? And as we have been noting, Lewis's style of writing is not a lot like our today's expression. So this is very much smells like a more modern expression, but
oh yeah,
but sadly, and I'm going to call someone out, in late 2016, a very creative person that I respect, Toby Mack, on his Facebook account. Now, I don't know that he personally oversees that. I'm sure it's farmed out, but I enjoy his music, and he was with DC Talk. I really enjoyed their music as well. And so when he shared it, like over 80,000 people liked it and shared it. He and no one apparently took the time to consider, you know, Lewis didn't say it. It's as far as I know, it's a anonymous quote. And I tracked that down because I did a Google book search, and I found that there was a book in 2014 called Fearless, Fabulous You, Lessons on Living Life on Your Terms. This is by the author Melanie Young. And she credits the quote as anonymous or unknown. So this is an example of an unknown quote, and there's many of them out there that somehow get Lewis's name attached to it. And this makes me want to comment about, you know, other books that I've read that deals with misquotes by other famous people. And one of the reasons why people kind of jump on it more when they see a famous person is that it's like a quote that they can relate to. And not knowing maybe what this author might write like, it's like, oh, well, wow, if this person said it, then this must be true, and I can really relate to it. But, you know, I'm sure I've done that with other quotes that I've seen. I don't know very well the works of, like, George MacDonald, which Lewis respected. And if someone said, this quote's by George MacDonald, and I read it, and I enjoyed it, in the past, I would easily just pass it on. Now, I want to be very careful and check to see if it is actually from him. In fact, that's what we're encouraging people to do is, check to see if something is by the author that says it is before you share it. And in the case of Lewis that we're focusing on, we want to encourage people to read Lewis directly and to enjoy his works. And there are many other quotes that we know are definitely by him on my website. We haven't mentioned in this episode and in the other episodes we have, but I share a new quote each day. I do the same one every year, but that gives us at least 365 or 366 quotes to work from. So there's many other great expressions by Lewis that we can enjoy, and we want to encourage, again, people to especially read the works of C.S. Lewis.
Indeed, yeah, and that's very helpful that you're doing this. That's a lot of hard work. I think what we'll do now is just skip ahead to just one more because the way our time is going. You have one that is a quote. It's got some valuable wisdom here. It sounds like something that could come from C.S. Lewis. It's this, quote, hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny, unquote. So what do you think about that one, William?
Well, you know, I can definitely relate to that personally in my life. I don't enjoy hardships, and I'm sure you don't either, and I'm sure our listeners don't. But when we do go through them, we want to find meaning in them. And so this quote obviously speaks to that. It's like, okay, I'm going through this hard time, but, you know, maybe that means I'm going to have a great destiny. Well, this is a nice motivational expression, and it might sound like it came from a movie. well, guess what? It actually did. It's actually in the Hollywood version of the Narnia story, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Oh, so it's kind of Lewis.
Then. It's kind of Lewis, yeah. But, you know, when a book is adapted to a movie, the screenwriter will use material from a book, but it's not too common for them to use the exact words. In the earlier episode, we talked some about Shadowlands. In this case, we're talking about the Narnia Hollywood version. I say the Hollywood version because BBC also did a version as well. They've done four, or they did four. At this point, the time that we're recording in middle of 2017, hasn't been yet a fourth Hollywood version of the Narnia story, which the Silver Chair is the proposed one. But anyway, in this case, hardships often prepare ordinary people for extraordinary destiny is one that's found in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Well, now, I want to give credit to the person that actually first alerted me to the fact that this wasn't by Lewis, and I was able to track them down, and I personally emailed them to make sure I was following along with what they were saying. And so Kimberly Bronson is the individual. And so I wrote to her, and then she replied to me on July the 19th, 2014, and she says, quote, Reepy Cheep says it during the scene when Eustace has become a dragon and Reep is trying to comfort him. And I did watch the movie again to confirm this. While this scene is, you know, very touching and many find encouragement in this line, and it's okay to do that, but just, you know, it's not by Lewis, it's from the movie. Let's be accurate in terms of where the credit lies. It's something that it could be debatable whether Lewis would necessarily say something like this, but it's from The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Yeah. Well, in terms of, you know, whether something Lewis would say or not, that sentence, you could get the impression that hardships, like on autopilot, just sort of automatically make us better people. But we know that Lewis would focus on the choices we make in the midst of those hardships. Do we choose God's side of things, or do we choose our side of things? Because it's our choices, even the little choices that build on one another, that eventually determine our eternal destiny. And you want an extraordinary destiny. You want a happy ending. Then when you're going through the hardships, Lewis would say, be sure you're making the right decisions. Because hardships can also make people bitter. So I think that that Lewis would have a little bit of a hard time with that idea. Well, you know, time is moving on, as we say here. We could go on, but hey, we've got another episode coming up. We're going to be looking at some quotations that you would call almost Lewis or not quite Lewis. You want to tell us something about those?
Sure. Yeah, let me briefly do that. So this concludes the second of a two-part look at quotes that are clearly not by Lewis. In my series that I'm sometimes we'll call it questionable quotes, I categorize quotes as either not Lewis, almost Lewis, or not quite. So the next episode is going to look at quotes that are either almost or not quite, and these are quotes that are potentially they're either a paraphrase of Lewis, or there's something that Lewis did have in his writings, but he might not, but he's stating in the context that he's not agreeing with it, and it's isolated. And so we'll explore that. My blog series is always available at the time that we're recording this. I note that in that I'm working on a book version of this material, and once a book comes out, then I'm sure I'm going to have to adapt or briefen maybe some of this material because of a publishing agreement. But either way, we're going to examine that in our next episode, and that will include quotes like, there are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind. Find out if this is an almost or not quite Lewis. Mm-hmm. And then there's one that starts out, I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun, which is close to what Lewis said, but is not what he exactly said. Then there's one about the homemaker having the ultimate career. So that's some of the quotes that I'm going to look at. And then down the road, we're going to switch and talk about misconceptions about Lewis. So we encourage the listeners to keep listening.
Oh, indeed. That all sounds very interesting, William. Well, listen, thanks a lot for letting me join in with you on this discussion today.
Well, I enjoyed having you, David. And so leading us out, although I'll be saying some more things at the end, let me have you now take a little bit more time to share about yourself, maybe a few more details about the prayer video that you've done and some other things.
Well, one important detail is the spelling of my name, Beckman. It has two N's on the end. So if anybody were to search revbeckman.com, they want to be sure to have that in there. Speaking of books, I did this back, let's see, I guess it was 2016. I did a video series in Oxford on Letters to Malcolm, and I'm planning on putting that in book form as well. So it'd be about C.S. Lewis and prayer and augmented with other things that related to what Lewis says about prayer. So that's going to be a project I'm going to be working on. Y'all just wish me luck that I can get the thing done as I move on, because I've got other ideas I want to do too. But then don't we all, William, don't we all? And William, you know, as you mentioned earlier in the broadcast, you do have links below where this podcast is posted to the previous episodes of this series, which in case anybody hasn't listened to those, and also links pertaining to this episode, which would include links to my blog and other pertinent information connected with this. And so, William, thanks again for this podcast. It's been great to be with you.
Thank you also as the listener for joining us for this special episode about exploring Lewis misquotes and misconceptions. This All About Jack podcast is a feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. All About Jack is also part of the Theology Mix podcast network. Let me also mention that this episode is sponsored by Shelley and Son Books. You can find Shelley and Son Books online at ShelleyandSonBooks.com. They specialize in rare books by Lewis, Tolkien, and the Inklings and Friends. You can order by their website, phone, or email. They accept a variety of payments, and you can browse and search their catalog online. Again, that's ShelleyandSonBooks.com. Shelley is spelled S-H-E-L-L-E-Y. And don't forget to check the show notes for links to the material mentioned in the show today, along with links to my guest host for this episode. You can get those notes either at EssentialCSLewis.com and look for the show corresponding to the Lewis misquotes and misconceptions, but it might be easier to locate the show where the audio files are hosted at allaboutjack.podbean.com. Again, that's allaboutjack.podbean.com. If you found this show later than when it was initially released, then you can hear the next episode by going over to EssentialCSLewis.com or allaboutjack.podbean.com and then look for the Exploring C.S. Lewis Misquotes and Misconceptions. Before ending, I want to also remind you that I have a book that is an enhanced study guide to the Screwtape Letters. It's called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. You can learn more about it by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. There you can get an immediate download of a free 20-page PDF sample of the book. Again, that's ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Purchasing the book is a great way to support this free podcast. The book is available in paperback or on the Kindle. Additionally, I do plan to update the show notes when details are available at a book version of this material that you're listening to now. Finally, thank you again for listening to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty.